MLB classic, I feel like we're set.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, I think I want my thing to be novelty t-shirts, mm-hmm. kick-ass hats, and just authenticity.
Ballpark, how many hats do you own?
Winter or ball cap? Or are we doing, like, an all-encompassing, oh my goodness. I don't think I, for a lady, I'm a lady now. I'm just turned 27. Mm. Lady! Mm. As a young woman, I think I have more hats than most gals do, mm-hmm. but I do not have more than most guys do. So, like everything else in my life, I'm straight down the middle mm-hmm. in terms of what's normal for women and what's normal for dudes. I'm, like, right in the middle.
Okay.
And so I would put a ballpark number on probably 50 hats total. That's not that many if you think about it, though. And that's a culmination of me. I was an athlete. Yeah. Like, I got hats, like, for being parts of yeah. teams and things.
I have literally no idea what the median would be, so.
No. You yeah. don't you don't strike me as a hat person.
No, I own two.
Two?
I have an enormous head, so none of them fit right.
I have a big head, too. It sucks. Yeah. This hat, this is the hat I just bought it, and I'm actually really pissed because it's not a deep bucket hat, but it's such a cool hat. That I'm like, I have to wear it, but it kind of looks like I'm one of those inflatable head things with a tiny, like, bait, you know, like the cartoon kids that have the hat that would be like a Hey Arnold hat. This, I'm there, like Arnold from Hey Arnold, yeah. like an absolute classic. I was Helga for Halloween like 3 years ago, and now I am Arnold.
That's on point costuming.
Do 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 do. Mm-mm. All right, this will go up, but I don't care. But this is the Someday Scaries with Lindsay Brown. I'm with Brendan Berger today, and we're going to talk some TV, but we also talk whatevs. So that's the podcast, that's the vlog, that's whatever this is.
Johnny Carson does fit under the umbrella TV.
Johnny Carson does?
Yes.
Now I have to post that video, because otherwise nobody will understand the context of
that. That was not by mistake.
For a callback, for those of you that haven't seen, check out my social media accounts that I definitely did not write up on the whiteboard. At Lindsay Brown 35 on Twitter and at Linz Brown 35 on Instagram. I thought Ed McMahon was Vince McMahon and thought it was wrestling. And then I totally forgot that Johnny Carson existed.
Do you know what I'm hearing too, though, is the association might be that, you know, I like wrestling. So that might have been
probably. I have a tendency to do that in general, just because I try to figure out something that I kind of know some things about that you know a lot about, so I can have that conversation, because I try to avoid talking about me at all costs for some reason. I don't know why, but I'm
that
like,
is true.
And that's the thing. And so, and then also I want it, if I'm in a conversation with someone, I want them to be more comfortable than I am, because I know that I don't want other people to be uncomfortable around me, but I'm okay being uncomfortable around other people, because that's just my natural, like,
status. The martyred interviewer.
Yeah, but, like, it's not a martyr. It's not awkward unless you make it awkward. And most people tend to make things awkward. I tend to relish the awkwardness unless it is someone else making a huge ass of themselves. Or, like, somebody doing bad karaoke is my worst absolute nightmare. And I'm not even joking.
You can't handle the cringe, can you?
I could cringe at myself.
Not the self. I mean, like, the
yeah, somebody else. Cringe. Secondhand cringe is my absolute nightmare, and it is what a time to be alive for secondhand cringe in many ways and shapes and forms.
We have a culture that has made an art form out of secondhand cringe.
It is, and I think that probably started, do you think that probably started with MTV when they did, like, scarred, and they did, like, the gnarliest injuries and stuff like that, and they would do the
Jackass?
Jackass was before that. I was obsessed with that as a kid. Obsessed with
is
that.
Is there an LB injuring herself story doing something?
Well, I have plenty of injuries, just like anybody else who grew up playing sports.
But Jackass-style injury?
Like self-inflicted stupidity injuries?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think I've gotten in trouble for pulling some things, but that's more of like a social injury rather than a physical one, because I just tended to... I know what I can and can't do, and I've always had a really, like, good idea of my limits physically from a young age for some reason. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that, so I'm just going to take the long route. I'll take the path around. I'll meet you over there. But sometimes I can extend myself, and I'm like, oh, I'll go zip lining. Like, go for it. Whatever. Who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that's my plan. So, should we talk about TV? What we really came here for at 12:07 a.m. on March 22nd. That's when we're recording this.
Hey, it's now Friday.
It is Friday. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God it's Friday. So, I wanted to start this little segment of what I'm going to call Watch History on Someday Scaries with Lindsay Brown. It's the show. It's kind of like the sub-podcast of the entire network. This is a huge brain trust. Like, so much research and development. So much resources just dedicated into formulating this entire show for you and for me.
What is our corporate euphemism for you? It'd be like multimedia content distribution network.
Yes, and I am a content curator. You like that? And I like the alliteration as well.
Okay.
I love alliteration. Look it up if you don't really know it, millennials. Huh?
You really do.
I do. I like things that I like puns unless they're really bad, and I like finding like clever names of play on words.
Could alliteration be an odd manifestation of your need for symmetry?
I'm sure there's many psychologists out there that would say you are exactly right, Brendan.
I'm wondering if like we could run the diagnostic on LB executable mind. Like, if that
right.
would be a tied together process.
I honestly don't know, but I'm sure there's definitely something. I have a huge, huge problem with, like, things, like you said, symmetry, order. For the most, there are some things I can deal with that are a little chaotic, but there's a certain line, and my fuse is very short when it comes to that, because I get overwhelmed. I can't help it. There's a lot of things going on in and out of this brain. And most of the time, it's just anxiety riddled, just like everybody else my age. Do you get anxious?
Yes, if I'm thinking, this was the imagery that popped into my head. Anyone who's seen a movie will have seen it, the enormous roundabout it's in like the center of Paris, it's right by the Arc de Triomphe. It's just
was that French experts, was the accent good? Comment.
I would be interested, yes.
Yes, comment.
It's like the five-lane roundabout.
Yeah. Devil Wears Prada, you know, Miranda, and they're just going around, everyone wants to be us.
That's what I'm seeing your thought process being like.
Yes. Yeah. Rush Hour, except they just had the War of the Worlds replay, and nobody remembers it from 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Over the pop, everywhere, on YouTube. Yep. Not the radio, because radio's dying, guys. We should know this. over YouTube, just red alert, and that's my brain at all times, unless I'm really on top of my meds and everything else. But now that we've gone around the topic four times, back to our TV viewing. This is what you're gonna expect. Is like actually, we're gonna get there, but sometimes it might take us a little bit. But we want to keep it natural and authentic, and you know,
and that
just
was a
normal,
perfect QED moment. So, like,
what do you mean? What does that mean?
Quoderat demonstratum.
What is that?
You're the one who actually speaks Latin.
No, I don't. I took a year of I took 3/4 of a year of Latin. I took 2 years of ancient Greek.
It means as is demonstrated, basically.
What he said.
Okay.
TV watching.
Yes.
Huge part of our lives. One of the main things that you and I connect on of
many things.
One of
the best
things.
Ways to avoid interacting with other humans.
Yes, but also bringing us together, bringing us together. And obviously there's a lot of podcasts and whatever this thing is that we're creating out there that like to discuss TV. And we're just going to do it in our own way. And since we're new to it, we're just going to let it organically kind of come to us and just see how it goes.
We're hoping this is history, right? Like,
yes.
But we're hoping, like, discovery of penicillin history, not Hindenburg
when
history.
They 50 years from now, when they go back to the annals of video, because by then we're just going to be spirits. Like, I'm picturing, like, what's the space movie with Matthew McConaughey? The Martian? Is it that one? Or is that one? That
Matt
one's
Damon.
Matt Damon's also in the one with the Matthew McConaughey, because he's the bad one that gets sent up there. Remember? Spoiler alert.
Is it the McConaughey and Anne Hathaway one?
No, that's Interstellar, and that's okay. Not. Is he in that one? God, there's a lot of space. And they all came out in the same year.
Yep.
Moving on. I think there are three types of TV watchers.
Okay.
Because TV is arguably the biggest medium in our culture. And I don't mean like TV as in the historical definition of TV. I mean consuming film or TV shows, and not film as the literal sense film.
Audio,
but like,
visual media.
Yes. Content curator. I think that, at least for me, I think that has the biggest impact on our society and also reflects our society the most right now, because obviously podcasts are big, music is big, but vision is the most, you know, strong of our senses. At least that's what I think. At least Nose, you can smell really well, right? Smelling is connected to memory really well.
Nose is the most strongly connected to memory, but you tend to experience most of the world through sight, if you can see.
Especially these days with, I don't know, just the 10,000 screens we all have and just the obsession we have with keeping up to date with everything.
With apologies to people who literally can't see.
That sucks. Sorry.
So you may not get as much out of this podcast.
Right, you may not get as much, but don't worry, we will have plenty of more content for you coming up soon. On the Sunday Scaries.
We need to get a cash register sound every time you say content.
That will be one of our target words. Because we're not going to hide. The amount of crap that people try to like veil when it comes to the radio business or just media business, being like, we're going to hide this little subliminal message. Straight up, we're just going to be honest with everything about.
We're going to shill.
We're a shill. This is the best job ever. Anybody can do this. It's just not everybody has the balls to do it. That's the difference. So back to TV. There are three types of TV watchers. Type A are people who like to watch TV because they want to kind of check out. They want to zone out from the world. They want something that they can play in the background. They can go on Instagram, too, that they can kind of glance up and maybe get, you know, a nice little image of some eye candy. But they don't want to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with any of these types of TV viewers because everybody uses the medium for different reasons in different ways.
Okay.
I am not type A. I consider people who like to watch The Bachelor, like the reality shows, The Kardashians, where it's kind of a, you can watch the show, but you could also not watch it, but keep up with all the drama and on Instagram, all this other stuff. You don't have to full on, it's not just the show. Does that make sense?
I will hold my comments on the types until I've heard all three.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good way to look at it. We're just working out the kinks of the watch history. The I hear of some day scaries. You like how I reset there? Look how much progress we've made.
I
look
am
at
so proud
what a
of
time
it.
To be alive.
I'm so proud of you.
So proud. And then there's type B or type 2. So these are types of people that like to watch TV that requires a little bit of intellectualism if they want it, but they also want some people that are really nice to look at, maybe a little smoochy smoocherson, maybe some drama, maybe some murder, maybe blood, whatever. I consider these show types of the Grey's Anatomy, the law shows, the kind of typical network primetime TV, you know, those long arc stories, drama series, Emmys, they were winning 10 years ago, those types of shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's type 2 or type B. I haven't decided yet. I feel like people would get offended if I said type B. 2B. Like you. Diabetes.
Call it type 2B.
Type 2B?
Yeah, just go all in.
2B.
All chips.
2B part 1.
Yep.
2B part 1. We'll just keep it really clear and simple for everyone. And then there's type C, type 3, type...
Type C3.
Type C3.
Yeah.
We're in Star Wars, which I hate.
You caught that reference.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. You reset a segment and got a Star Wars reference within a couple minutes.
And you thought I was incapable of learning, applying it, and making it better.
Should I just leave now? Is this not going to get better for me?
No, I think you should bask in your own glory that you've built this product of...
Is this the summit of achievement?
Yeah.
Because that's a depressing thought. That is a depressing
thought. Golf claps
thought.
For you. Type 3. Okay. Type 3... of or type 3CC3 of TV watchers are the people that take a scholarly approach to television, people that invest in stories, that want to be have their minds messed with, want to have not just a story, but they want a story within the story. So shows like Game of Thrones, Westworld, True Blood, like those are all ironically on HBO, but typically premium network television shows where they
documentaries
yeah,
are putting in this.
Where they can show boobs and they can say whatever they want. Those are the types of shows. And I get it. There are plenty of really good network TV shows. I've been watching Grey's Anatomy since it came on the air in 2005. So I'm a hardcore fan. Christina Yang for life. And now she's on Killing Eve. Watch that now. I'm dead serious. Everybody should go watch Killing Eve. That's my pick for a show for 2018. We'll move that on to another time. But watch it now before we get to it again.
When we get to it, I have an actual beef with the show.
No! Yes. Oh, my God. That makes me so sad. Mm-hmm. I can't. That'll be a
and
time.
It's not even the show's fault. That's the worst
part. No! I'm so depressed. But we'll move. Okay. We'll go into that a different time. But that's typically where I fall into. Now, none of these categories are mutually exclusive. You can be a type C TV watcher, but sometimes you could dabble in a little bit of a type A or a type B. You don't know. It depends on your mood. It depends on what you're looking for. Because when I get, like, depressed middle of wintertime, I tend to go to shows that are more mindless. Because then I can just be like, I'm going to waste time on my iPad or just go off and try to distract myself.
I
want to
drown out the voices in my head for a little while.
Okay, that was a personal revelation, but we're happy for you. Yeah, but you can go. But I feel like if you're a type C, you have a really hard time with type A. And if you're a type A, you have a really hard time with type C in terms of shows, like really deep, detailed shows.
I like the
shows.
Spectrum idea, though, where if B is the median, the further you get from where you're based, right. Mm-hmm. The less comfortable you'll be.
Right.
I am generally more of a C, which is why my initial thought on type A is they can be the most frustrating people in the world to watch TV with, especially if it's a type C show by this.
Right.
Because, wait, I don't know what happened. Because you were looking at your phone.
Do you have, like, an example of a time? I mean, we all have examples with significant others or friends that we're watching or even co-workers, because everybody does the watch-along parties, which we're going to do for Game of Thrones.
And we definitely – I think I've told you this. Now we can tell everyone.
Tell the world.
We actually had to have a girl I was seeing when I was living in Alaska. We actually had to have the Game of Thrones conversation where it's like, I'm happy to watch this with you. But if you're going to fall asleep every episode...
There's no point.
I am not going to wait. I am going to keep watching.
This is what breaks up relationships and marriages in 2019.
Keep up or be left behind is basically what's happening.
And I could not recommend stronger that if you're in a relationship with someone, you gotta have your own shows. Mm-hmm. You can't watch every single show together, even if you're both watching the same show, unless you're for sure like... We must watch this together because we are meant to be together. Or you have a time that you watch it after it comes on live. Whatever, that's fine. But I cannot – I want to be alone. If it's like a Game of Thrones or type of show, I'm like, I need to let it consume me for me to consume it.
I'm at a point where I can only watch Game of Thrones with someone who's going to match my enthusiasm for it.
Correct.
Like
me.
Or exceed it. But if – I super struggle with people that are indifferent to a show like that. And it doesn't specifically have to be Game of Thrones. It's any show that you have to really invest in.
Right.
Because the reasons I was listing, but also it's like you being indifferent here.
Right.
Is, and this is going to be so egotistical, but I'm just going to lean into it, is helping snap me out of where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So... Like, I want to talk, if we're going to talk during Game of Thrones, I want to definitely be talking about Game of Thrones, and I want to get more than,
So you're okay with talking during the Thrones, like actual interaction?
If it's about Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I tend to go on the side of, like, I have visceral reactions to, like, what's happening. Like, last year when, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Thrones or not caught up, you have 3, 2, 1 seconds until we go deep into the last season and last chance, go away. Okay, so when Jaime Lannister is in the field, gonna bat, first time they see the dragons, and there's a shot of a dragon, and who, if you're listening to the podcast, thank you, but you cannot see this, so then you must go watch YouTube.
Yeah.
Consume it twice to really let it sink in, like I do all Game of Thrones
episodes. Talking is very much a multimedia experience.
I have very intense hand motions and body language. So it's if you're listening, I appreciate it, but you're only getting half of your money's worth. And this is a family-friendly show, except for what I'm saying.
Except for what you might say at any time.
Correct. Except for that. I'm going to try my best not to swear, but I feel like there are some times. It depends on the situation, but I'm going to do my best to keep it clean.
Okay.
But it's not going to be off limits, but it's not going to be encouraged.
But this is
yes,
you.
But this is me. But when I have the headphones on, it's kind of like a different headspace. I've found that. It's weird. But when the dragon is coming in, I'll even draw it on the board for you as I'm telling it. The dragon is flying here, and it is the train of the Lannister army. They're getting there because they're trying to get to King's Landing to support Cersei because things are about to go down. And Drogon is being ridden by Daenerys. And this is the coolest shot in Game of Thrones since Jon Snow almost got suffocated to death. And we all almost felt like we were being suffocated as well. That's what TV does to you. The dragon, Drogon, and Dany's up here just hanging out, being a badass. Ride or die. I love that woman. They're flying. And it's this fire. It's... And it's the first time that we basically get like a banana for scale or something that allows us to really see the enormity of the dragons and the progress that they've made. Because obviously if you've watched Game of Thrones and you've watched it as closely as we have, which we doubt, but if you watch it semi-close, you get invested in the dragons. Even if you don't want Daenerys to win or you think that things are about to turn badly for her, the dragons have been a huge part, and you can't argue that Drogon's not a badass.
I'm thinking the last time we got a sense of scale for their size was the arena fight scene.
Right, and that was just when Drogon was learning to fight.
Yeah.
And then they had the battle scene at the end of season 6 when they were in Slaver's Bay and they were trying to retake Meereen. And Daenerys is like up there, and then she's like, oh, I'm going to burn all your ships, and then she did. But that's hard when
that's exactly how she sounds.
That's exactly. Hi, Amelia Clark. Your article was amazing today. It was awesome. But when you're flying around and when it's the CGI, it's not like there's not a point where it seems still, where it's, you know, a tracking point. I'm trying to think of the language, since I was an English technical major, but I can't seem to find the word for what I'm trying to say. But
you have the gesture.
There's a fixation point that allows you to be, that it is good for us in terms of like readability of understanding what the size of the dragon is. And that is a badass shot. And that is a visceral. I was literally in my room alone, pitch black darkness, because that's how you have to do it. You have the candle in the side for the Lord of Light, just in case he's real. Then, as this dragon's going, I'm like, oh my God! Oh my God! I'm not joking. And this is why we are going to film. I don't know if you're going to be with me every time. I hope you will be. I'm springing this on you now.
Yeah, let's have a meeting.
Sign your contract here.
Yeah.
I will fill it out afterwards. But I'm going to be taping myself as I watch Game of Thrones live. I'll be streaming live. I know that there are copyright issues, so we can't do like a screen and screen. I don't know what that is. But all I know is that I'll say, start at this point, go, or whenever it's live, and then...
You can show your reaction.
Yes, and that's what I plan to do, because for some reason, humans like reaction videos. I don't know why. I think it's like the shared experience thing, and I think especially with sports, it's important because so many people don't go to sports games anymore. So, like the Minneapolis Miracle for the Minnesota Vikings last year. That was my first Vikings game ever, so I can never go back. But... I spent so much time looking at reaction videos after the fact just because it's a different viewing experience. And especially if you're just at home instead of at the game, you want to see how other people reacted, because part of you wants to see like, oh, let's see how crazy these people get. But on the other side, you're kind of thinking like, was I too crazy? Yeah. Did I look too weird?
Am I more dignified than them?
Yeah. Am I the worst one in the Vine compilation that somebody put together 3 days later and then took credit for my video? No! Genius. So, three types of TV viewers.
You went the long way around.
I know. And that's okay. I'm okay with it. That's why we're workshopping it, and that's why we're kind of just getting after it here. But what do you think the mainstream is? Because I feel like we hear a lot of people talking about these prestige TV shows, these big-time shows, and that I don't know if it's everybody actually is watching it, or if it just seems like everybody's watching it because the people who are writers are the ones talking about it and the ones that are, you know what I mean? Like an amplified, like buzz around it. You know what I mean? Like a fabricated. Do you think Game of Thrones is as big as it actually is in terms of viewership and in terms of like diehard fandom?
I would argue it's probably bigger than the numbers we can track.
Right.
Simply because of piracy.
Yeah. That's fair. I actually do have an HBO subscription now, but back in the day when I binge watched, at that time there was I think 3 or 4 seasons. I did it in a weekend, super healthy, and then wrote my senior thesis about it like 2 months later and painted my goalie mask with Daenerys Targaryen on one side of the gate and the throne on the other. So I'm not a fan at all.
No.
But
casual.
I feel like there's this hoity-toityness to like people who typically classify themselves in the type C or type 3. So people like me, that there's kind of like a whole, I watch really great TV and whatever you watch is, I don't personally feel like this, but people who are really into TV.
But there are definitely people that seem to consciously try to be like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose that's true for everyone too. That there's sports reporters that are like that. There's
field of interest, right? Yeah, there are definitely music fans that are like that.
But I don't think, even Thrones, I don't think that they match the amount of social media buzz and just actual tweets, likes, Instagram posts, all this stuff, as like something like The Bachelor, where it's more type A. So I feel like if you're going to talk about TV as a reflection of society, and because TV is a mirror, but also you're copying yourself in the mirror. It's kind of like when you're trying to, in the door, and you're just like... You're a kid or the dog sometimes get confused in front of the mirror and then they bark at themselves because they think it's another dog. That you have people that watch TV in an intellectual basis and have kind of this hoity-toityness about them. And then you have people that kind of watch TV and the type A. I feel like there's very little in the type B, like a pure type B. And I feel like there's a lot of people on the outskirts in the type A and the type C, and that they have a very hard time coexisting in the same, I mean, it almost seems like different, because social media allows you to have like NBA Twitter, NHL Twitter, March Madness Twitter. We have like these, we're able to filter ourselves into these little, even on the, like, as something as big as Twitter or Instagram, where you have millions, tens of millions of users and viewers and everything else. And yet, you have these two type of tropes. You have your reality kind of TV, television, more meme culture, slapstick type of stuff. And then you have the more, I'm not, dignified's not the right word, but a more immersive experience with TV. You have that different side of it.
I guess I would call it the difference between like popcorn and foie gras, you know, like.
What's foie gras?
Stuffed duck liver.
No thanks.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, you can consume pretty much as much popcorn as you need to.
Right.
It's empty. It tastes good.
Right.
And so I think you're looking at two poles of the same spectrum that sort of employ social media differently. Right. Like,
right.
In for type A viewing, and I'm occasionally a type A, usually a type C. It kind of depends. Context is everything in life. Type A is using social media in a much more direct way, I feel like.
Really?
As a direct adjunct to it. Because I'm thinking specifically of, like, shows that encourage you to vote. Like, direct participation. Or, you know, the ones that are making a big deal about talking, that specifically mention social media.
So pop cultural activism.
Yep. Because they put it directly into the show at times.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas type C, when you're doing epic storytelling or documentary making or things like that, it can still benefit from that buzz on social media, but it's much less directly part of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I suppose that makes sense. And when it comes to type C stuff, most of the time, like, I'm not a huge user of Reddit, but I know a lot of people, especially people who are into Game of Thrones or really like getting into those fandoms, which is pretty much anything that's, you know, on TV and in movies now, is all these franchises or these really long, drawn-out storylines, which is a good thing because I need more things to watch because I keep running out of things because that's all I do when I'm not here. And watch sports. Definitely watch sports. Lots of sports. is that... it's really hard to get yourself into that community because if you're just entering it, or God forbid you start a show a couple seasons later than everyone, like if you're not there from like the inception, the premiere of the show, it's kind of intimidating to jump into that because you're like, you want to have a discussion. Mm-hmm. You want to have, I chalk it up to what I call hockey elitism in the hockey world, where in Minnesota we like to think ourselves, we're like, well, we're better than it. We're basically Canada, and we're a state of hockey, and we pour our puns under a rink, and we're okay with mediocrity. We'll still go to the game because we're still fans of the game. That's the type. Where it's hard to really break into that community, and people are turned off by it. They're turned away, and then once enough people get turned away, or I don't know if you've ever seen this happen on social media, publicly shamed.
Oh, yes, yeah.
that it's kind of exclusive, but not in the good definition of the word exclusive. Like, exclusive has kind of a positive positive meaning about it.
It excludes people.
Right, and whereas I think The Bachelor or more of that type A type of show where it's much more just, like you said, I feel like the what you were talking about beforehand was a more type B look at it. I feel like type A is just, they're trying to put a picture, they're basically just trying to put a picture up of what today is, and not so much of you, not put much work into the imagination, not put a ton into, you know, research outside of being like, you know, Kim Kardashian's tweet was like super cryptic, or you have, you know, the American Gladiator shows or the different singing competitions.
What is
shows.
The equivalent of the Bachelor type A move, programming for me? It's watching the WWE. So I'm thinking.
See, I don't think of that because I'm not a guy. Because
I'm thinking it's pretty much the exact same level of entertainment.
Right.
This is not cerebral, thought-provoking stuff. And that's not why you go to it.
Right.
Like, if you go to it expecting that, you will be disappointed.
But you need a thread, because otherwise you're just a bunch of dudes in Speedos just
So, I mean, so there's a narrative just, I mean, it all conforms to basic rules of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
My larger point on the social media is that I feel like crutch has negative connotations, so I don't want to use that, but it's much more like this is a direct and organic part of what we're doing. Whereas with C, I feel like social media is something that can be used to reflect your feelings and be a mirror of them, but that's not something the show is courting quite as much as the other two.
Right. They're looking for an investment, meaning time investment in research into the show rather than what you feel about the show. They want you to go research and talk about the show rather than talk about how you reacted to the show. Like, it's not absent, but it's not their main bread and butter.
It's much less prominent.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I think people who tend to be a little more nerdy, tend to be a little more cerebral, gravitate towards that, because a lot of times those types of people tend to prefer investing their time in learning about other things rather than learning or expressing themselves. I'm not saying that they don't, but that's the way I feel. As I'm like, I'm really good at solving other people's problems, but I can't even begin to fathom how to deal with my own. You are typing extremely aggressively, might I add.
You know what's funny too is that I failed my keyboarding courses in school.
Isn't that fun? I wonder what the equivalent is today. Do they still do like computer class?
I'm assuming
you're how many years older are you than I am?
I'm 31.
Okay, so you're 4 years older. But that's actual considerable difference in our generation.
Yeah. It's
millennial.
I would assume you would do even more on computers. I just assume they probably take for granted that
But kids already come in knowing how to do it. Kids start kindergarten these days and they already know how to read.
Well, like my niece is doing, she's in fifth grade and they're doing introduction to coding. So
that's different from keyboard class.
So what I'm thinking is they just assume you have a higher baseline of knowledge when you arrive.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the great thing about this podcast, because I could go into all this stuff about schools, about education, how crazy kids are these days in terms of like having knowledge, knowing stuff by the time they get to school. It's insane. We are so stupid back in the day.
Yep.
We're unprepared, and we still are.
And it's only going to get worse.
Well, that's why I named this podcast Someday Scaries, because we always think that it can't get any worse, but there's always tomorrow.
It always can.
But there's also always tomorrow in a positive light, and we want to be positive, but it's a crazy world out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Someday Scaries, like most things that I really like, a play on words, like Sunday Scaries, when you really start to get anxiety, when you have to go back to work the next day, and you're like, oh my God, the fun is ending. And then the abyss of the 5-day work week and going to the gym afterwards and slogging through that, and then convincing yourself to choke down some plain chicken breast with some broccoli that's a week old, and that's your next 5 days, and you won't see the light of any sort of positivity or happiness outside of just drowning yourself in some Netflix show until Friday.
I feel like you just won an Oscar for this
Thank
film.
You! Meryl would be proud.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up our first edition of Watch History here on Someday Scary. So thanks for sticking with us. We'll be back with more I don't know what yet. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's an hour from now. Well, see you later. Bye.